PFOA, a toxic forever chemical, was found in January 2021 in drinking wells at the Algonquin Middle School in Posenkill. Recently, 10 nearby wells were tested with PFOA detected in three of them, with two above the state limit of 10 parts per trillion. PFOAs can cause damage to the liver and the immune system, cancer, as well as birth defects and delayed development. A community meeting for Posenkill residents was convened on September 27th by Eric Wahlberger, a member of the town board. The meeting at the VFW Hall was standing room only. Speakers included Judith Ank, former EPA regional administrator and resident of Posenkill, Bob Brunette, the Posenkill public health coordinator in charge of the water system, Michelle Baker from Hoosick Falls, Gary Binsberg from the New York State Department of Health, and Sean Mahar, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. County health officials declined to speak at the meeting, though the county health director did attend. Many residents nationally are worried about the potential health impacts, with many voicing concerns that the county and state have moved very slowly to respond to the problem since it was first detected in January. A main concern is that the state and county have done little to identify the source of the contamination. State officials several times mentioned the possibility that the use of wax on the floors of the school might be the source of the problem, a contention not well received by attendees. Residents wanted to know why the state had not yet tested the old closed town landfill nearby, which is notorious for not being very strict as to what was dumped there. One nearby resident who worked at New York State DEC for 37 years as an environmental scientist challenged DEC's approach in taking samples to determine how far the contamination has spread. We do a few excerpts from the meeting. We first hear from town council member Wahlberger. Following the presentation by the speakers, residents were allowed to ask questions. First up is Paula Hyman, who has a back and forth with Sean Mahar of DEC, with Judith Ank also responding. We then also hear from nearby resident Suzanne Sennett.
Part of the reason why we're here tonight is because in January of this year, the middle school did a test as required by the state, and the results came back over the 10 parts per trillion limit. Since then, DEC Department, New York State DEC, New York State Department of Health, Rensselaer County Department of Health put together 10 more tests. We found out earlier this month that of those 10 tests, 7 came back with no PFOAs in it, 3 came back with some. 2 of those 3 were over the 10 parts per trillion limit, and that's how we got to today. Also this week, the DEC, the DOH, and Rensselaer County Department of Health are doing 10 more tests.
My name is Paula, and I live near Algonquin. My well was tested. My well has PFOA and PFOF and PFOH in it. It's below drinking water standards. What's going to be done for those people who are tested to have levels below drinking water standards to make sure that it remains below drinking water standards? Am I going to have people come to the house every 3 months, every 90 days, once a quarter to double check that my well remains safe to drink? That's my first question. And I would appreciate if we can get an honest answer. Then this next thing is, what are we doing to mitigate the problem? I used to do environmental remediation work for petroleum contaminants. And when there was a spill, everybody mobilized until discover where it was. And we drilled groundwater wells throughout the town. We tried to come up with an area of influence where the plume was. And we went after it aggressively. And this seems to be very blasé about things. Like, oh, it's just PFOA. It's not going to stink. It's tasteless. It's odorless. We don't know it's there. It is very dangerous because of that. It's not like petroleum. But because petroleum was nastier, it had action quicker. So I have two questions. The first one is, what are we doing for the people who are below drinking water standards but have it in their drinking water well, to make sure that they continue to stay safe? And the second one is, what are we going to do to take an aggressive action about finding a source and getting after it? I understand.
Sean Maha, Chief of Staff at New York State DEC, then responded.
Generally, I don't know your specific well, and I'll have to check with our folks, but typically if there is a detection on your well, you would be put on a regular routine monitoring schedule, because we do want to see over time how are things changing, because that's going to potentially tell us groundwater flow and other information that's going to be very helpful to us. Our experts are already looking at that type of information, but again, the more data that we can have, that's going to be factored in. So, you know, Sue Edwards is one of our key point people that's working here with her team out of DEC, and if you're not in contact with her, I can get you other DEC contacts to make sure that, you know, that part of your specific well is addressed with regard to how we'll be monitoring it over time. Your second question with regard to the plume, again, we don't have any evidence or indication that there is a widespread plume of contamination here. We're using the science that we're generating now through the sampling to figure out, is there some evidence that there is something here? What our folks are looking at now, when you take a bird's eye view of the detections that we have and the wells that we have, it's scattershot. There's not a pattern or anything that's saying to us right now, oh, look, there's got to be a source coming this way. And that's what we need more information for, and that's why we're tailoring the additional sampling that we're doing to get that information.
But it seems to be taking sloth pace to get this done. And that's, as a homeowner, as someone with contaminants in our well, we don't want it to go slow. We need answers. We need action. We need help.
Yep, and that's what we're here for, and that's why we're here tonight, and that's why we're going to continue to be here. And especially as we get more data and information, we're going to continue this conversation with you, and we want you to get those answers and to have that information.
Judith Eng, former EPA regional administrator, then responded.
Paula, I want to address your second question without strangling anyone with this. Thank you. That would be bad. What I'm so puzzled about is the agencies knew about this in January, and then 10 wells, residential wells, were tested in August and 10 today. That is way too slow. And the way you identify the contours of the plume is not from people's drinking water wells. You mentioned when there's a petroleum spill, you go out aggressively and you drop monitoring wells in a vast area to identify where the source is. I categorically reject that this is from doing laundry or waxing your floors. It's coming from somewhere. Now, it may not be super local, because we know that PFOA and other PFAS chemicals moves in groundwater, but the DEC is the cleanup agency, not the health department, not the county health department. So just like when there's a petroleum spill, you go out aggressively. And I don't know why that's not happening here. You don't rely on the residential well testing to outline the parameters of the plume. That's not how it works at the EPA or the DEC. So that's something we need a commitment tonight, that there's going to be a more aggressive effort to find the pollution.
My name is Suzanne Sennett. I, too, have land abutting the middle school, there's a lot of wetlands, et cetera. You've used this generic reference to we're following the science, which is a term we've heard horribly over the last year. But I guess what I would like to see is, what's the actual methodology that drives a sense that 10 haphazard just 10 wells and then another 10 is an adequate sample? To be honest with you, if there's an elementary school science teacher in this room, I think that they'd suggest that 10 data points is not a very significant sample for either determining if something is actually an issue, and clearly not for determining, you know, the parameters or the perimeter of the area that you're looking at. So if you have a methodology that says this is the science, this is why we choose 10, then I think that's something that should also be made public. Sure. So it could be evaluated by other scientists who might suggest that 10 is a pretty awful sample for any scientific study.
The state promised to continue to follow up in the situation. The town plans its own meeting for residents on Saturday, October 9th. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.